I'm Eric Whitney with Montana News. The big state budget bill landed on Governor Steve Bullock's desk Monday, one of the final acts of the 2017 legislative session, which was gaveled to a close Friday. Joining us now for a look at what lawmakers did and didn't accomplish since convening in January is MTPR's Corin Cates-Carney. Hi, Corin.
Hi, Eric.
The big story out of the legislative session is the last-minute failure for the second session in a row of an infrastructure spending bill, right?
Yeah, that's one of the takeaways. And Republican leaders came out of the session claiming a win by holding state government in check in a tight budget year, rejecting not only that infrastructure bill that would have allowed the state to borrow money in big capital projects, but also a series of tax increases proposed by Democrats and the governor.
The infrastructure bill would have spent about $80 million, right?
Yeah, Democrats and some Republicans wanted it to fund maintenance projects at schools, highways, and to launch construction of a state veterans home that the federal government is expected to pay for later. It also included a public works package to fund rural water projects.
And the session ended with Republicans and Democrats pointing fingers across the aisle, saying that each other's political tactics killed a potential compromise?
That's right, but at an end-of-session press conference, Republican Speaker of the House, Asta Knutson, said even without the infrastructure package, his caucus did good work and allocated significant money for infrastructure projects, even during a time when the state isn't bringing in the money lawmakers thought.
You know, I think overall, Republicans have a lot to be proud of. We crafted a very austere, tight budget in a very difficult budget session. We came in here being told we had a $300 million surplus, and we showed up, and that was not exactly the case. You know, that's our constitutional job, is to craft a budget for the state for the next 2 years.
Knutson's referring there to the decline in state revenues over the last year, and that's largely been attributed to declines in coal, oil and gas, and agriculture sales. How did that play out over the session, and where's the budget now?
So when lawmakers came to Helena in January, state revenues had fallen more than $230 million below their projections. The governor's office wasn't required by statute to make any reductions to spending while that was going on. And to make up for the budget shortfall, Governor Bullock proposed a budget with new taxes and a few small increases in the state budget in the next few years.
And Republicans didn't like those tax proposals, right?
Right, for the most part. The Republicans in the legislature didn't have much of a stomach for new taxes, what the governor's office calls revenue enhancements. In an end-of-session speech, Bullock criticized Republicans for turning down a proposal to bring more money into the state by increasing the tax rate on people making more than $500,000 a year.
And the fact that somebody making minimum wage has the same highest tax rate as somebody making $500,000 a year, when we need and should be funding essential services, when there are things in this budget and the overall proposal that could actually impact folks out there, that they call that a victory not working on tax fairness. I mean, I'll leave that to the Montanans. I'll leave that to the folks that make over $500,000 a year to high five with them. But I think that Montanans expected more.
Republicans also rejected increasing taxes on cigarettes and alcohol.
Did the legislature approve any new taxes?
Yes, a 6 cents per gallon gas tax was sent to the governor's desk Monday. If the governor signs it, the tax will gradually be implemented starting this July and will fund highway and road maintenance. The bill was a compromise between Democrats and Republicans, down from an original 8 cents per gallon tax increase. The governor's office supported that original bill and is expected to sign this lower proposal. A tax on medical marijuana is also awaiting a decision from the governor. That proposal will tax providers' gross sales at 4% this July and drop down to 2% a year later. Lawmakers rejected a 6% sales tax proposed by the governor.
During the election last year, we heard quite a bit from candidates about the future of Montana's energy economy, and particularly the future of the coal-fired power plant in Colstrip. What did the legislature do on that?
There was a lot of debate and a lot of lobbying over the last few months about what's going to happen when parts of the electricity power plant in Colstrip shut down. That's scheduled for 2022 at the latest, as required by a lawsuit settlement between the plant's owners and environmental groups. One proposal, which is heading to the governor's desk, would allow the state to give up to $10 million a year in loans to the power plant operators to help them stay open for as long as possible. The key effort from Colstrip Senator Duane Ankeny, which he's been working on since the Colstrip shutdown was announced last year, failed to pass out of committee. He said shortly after the vote to kill the bill that it was a blow to the people of Colstrip.
It would have given them some hope. And right now, it to them, it looks like the state, you know, turned her back on them.
Opponents to Ankeny's bill said it would hurt the state's business climate by requiring power companies in Colstrip to pay an exit tax when they leave the state.
Were opponents to Ankeny's bill mostly from one party?
The bill passed with near unanimous support in the Senate, but it failed to pass out of a Republican-controlled House committee.
What were the issues that did receive bipartisan support over the session?
Both Republicans and Democrats worked together to improve Montana's foster care system. After reports came out last year about the health department really struggling with the rising numbers of child abuse and neglect cases, reform of the justice system was also a bipartisan lift during the session. Lawmakers also agreed to fund additional judges in the state to keep up with rising caseloads. House Minority Leader Jenny Eck congratulated both sides of the aisle for their work on the issue on the last day of the session.
That's about a dozen bills that make our system smarter and more just, saving money and giving judges and prosecutors more tools to give defendants the right sentences, help reduce recidivism, and make sure we use our prison system for the people who need to be there the most.
Do you have a sense for whether the actions that lawmakers took to address the growth in caseloads in both foster care and the courts will be adequate to meet the challenges?
I think that's going to be something we're going to have to wait and see. One of the bills lawmakers passed requires more studying of child abuse in the state and how the state can improve its system. It's an issue that's impacting the Justice Department, burdening judges with cases that take a long time to resolve. It's also a huge lift for workers in the state health department, which is needing to upgrade its case filing system because what they have now is antiquated. We may see some improvements based on lawmakers' work this session, but it's unlikely they've come up with a complete fix at this point.
What about some of the major disagreements of the session? What weren't Republicans and Democrats able to accomplish?
Under the surface of a lot of the policy and appropriations debate, Democrats and Republicans each had their own frustrations accomplishing some of their goals over the session. For Republicans, that frustration is often rooted in not having power in the governor's office. The GOP has strongholds in both houses, but ultimately whatever they pass has to win Democratic Governor Steve Bullock's signature. In a final speech on the House floor last week, Majority Leader Ron Eli made note of the governor blocking their goals.
We fought for the life of the unborn child, the sanctity of life, and the future of our very existence. We defended our Constitution, our Second Amendment rights, with numerous bills that unfortunately did not make it across the governor's desk, but we must fight for every session.
For Democrats, they didn't get the funding in the state budget they wanted, particularly in the state health department and education. Governor Bullock didn't get the full funding for state preschool he campaigned on and pushed for with other Democrats, but a compromise was reached with Republicans for a $6 million preschool pilot project over the next 2 years. The collapse of infrastructure negotiations on the final day of the session was a frustration on both sides of the aisle and the governor's office. Bullock was visibly frustrated at a press conference after learning the public works package failed.
Now that lawmakers are gone from Helena, what's the status of legislation at the governor's office?
When the session ended last Friday, more than 200 bills were in the process of moving to the governor's office, the big one being the state budget, which was officially sent to Bullock's desk Monday afternoon. Since the $10 billion budget passed out of both houses, the governor hasn't said much about what he'll do with it. It comes in a little lighter in spending than Bullock asked for, but the governor has been less critical of it than fellow Democrats in the House and Senate. Bullock now has 10 days to sign it or give it a veto.
And the governor also has some leeway to veto parts of the budget bill that he doesn't like, right?
Right. The governor can line item parts of the budget he doesn't like, but he can't add more money to it. At this point, because the session has ended, if Bullock does veto parts of the budget, lawmakers would be sent Bullock's rejections in the mail, and it would require a two-thirds response to overrule Bullock's veto.
Corin Cates-Carney is Montana Public Radio's Capitol reporter. Corin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Eric.